Hi, and welcome to the Rachel Sellers Podcast, a podcast dedicated to providing free education about all things mental health. This podcast is about ending the mental health stigma and helping people cultivate a deeper awareness and understanding of themselves. Mental health education matters, and I'm here to share with you what I've learned and what I know. I'm your host, Rachel, and I'm so glad you're here. I'm so glad that you are listening to this episode and tuning in today as we continue to talk about trauma. And this episode is going to be a little bit shorter than some of the other ones, and really because I want to speak to something pretty specific. And that is this idea of big T and little T trauma. And these are words that may be familiar to you, and these things might be totally new for you. And so today I'm really just going to describe the differences between the two and then talk a little bit about how this designation or this way that we categorize trauma is sometimes problematic. So one of the ways that we have made great progress in the field of mental health and the field of trauma is recognizing that it's not just the quote unquote big stuff that counts. Like I just said, the mental health field uses kind of these two categories to describe and label different traumatic events. Big T, like capital T trauma, and little t, lowercase t trauma. And when someone is talking about a big T trauma, they're usually using that to describe a major event that is normally seen as traumatic and that threatens a person's life. So certain type of events that would be classified normally under these this classification kind of system is things like abuse. This is physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, or sexual abuse. Any type of abuse is seen as a big T trauma. Other things that are considered to be big T traumas are things like neglect, natural disasters, serious accidents, robbery, rape, war and combat, things like crime, death or loss of a loved one, domestic violence, having a major surgery, or witnessing a crime or death or violence. These things are typically considered big T traumas. So then where does this idea of little T trauma come in? So essentially, over the past couple of years and decade, I guess there's been so much research in neuroscience and in the fields of mental health that are talking about trauma and that is really redefining how we understand it. And what we've learned is that there are other things, and there are other things that the body experiences that also create trauma responses and that impact our ability to cope. And sometimes this is referred to as subtle trauma, but more than likely, it's going to be referred to as little t or lowercase t trauma. And this is an event or experience that is also overwhelming, and it causes the nervous system to react in, if not the same, but or a very, very similar way it would if the body was being faced with a big T trauma. So these traumas may not cause full-blown PTSD. They might, they may not, but they will still cause symptoms of post-traumatic stress. So things like anxiety, hypervigilance, feeling like your body's always on guard, difficulty focusing, dissociation, feeling numb, all of those post-traumatic stress symptoms may still be present in someone that is experiencing or has experienced a little T trauma. And it might just not fit the DSM-5 criteria for PTSD. So some of these things that we know change the body, impact the nervous system, impact our mental health, are little T traumas like bullying, going through a divorce, or being a kid or a teenager whose parents are going through a divorce, living with a parent with a mental illness, infidelity, legal issues, financial issues, stress at work, moving states, experiencing rejection, having a miscarriage or an emergency C-section or surgery, having a minor accident, finding out or hearing news that a loved one is sick, having a chronic mental or physical illness, all of these things, and I could list so many other things, but these are kind of common and main ones that I hear that are talked about as these things called little T traumas. And I am truly so glad that the mental health field is starting to talk about this impact that these quote unquote smaller experiences or events have on the body. And I think that's great, but I also think that this differentiation between naming or calling something, labeling something as either big T or little T can be really unhelpful. And I'm going to explain why I think that that is. First of all, the designation continues to support this idea that trauma is only the event, instead of trauma being the event and the body's emotional and the physical response to the event. So if that is the first time you're hearing me say that, then I want you to go back and listen to the episode that I released before this, was really diving into this concept of what trauma is. And when we label something big T, little T, we're talking about the event, the magnitude or degree that the event impacts a person. But when we talk about it that way, we forget that trauma isn't just the event, it's that the body's emotional and the physical response to the experience of something that is overwhelming. Trauma is the thing that's created. It is the uncomfortable physical sensations and the really distressing emotions that go along with the experience of the event. So my first kind of issue or snafu, I think that's a word, with this designation is that it kind of continues to perpetuate this half-truth about what trauma really is. It keeps the focus on the event, and it kind of takes the focus away a little bit from talking about the body's response. So this kind of leads into my second point. We now know, based on neuroscience research, based on PET scans, that two people who go through and experience the same traumatic experience are going to experience those events in different ways. And I'm going to explain this using an example. So I'm going to introduce two random teenagers, and I'm making up these stories, okay? So these are not real, but for the sake of illustration, we're going to use story because stories are how we understand the world. I digress. So meet teenager A. We're going to call teenager A Eli. Eli is being bullied at school because of his weight. He has a really strong social support system. He has healthy relationships with both of his parents, or parents, his parents are still together. And generally, he has a pretty well-regulated nervous system. Let's say he's gone to some therapy in the past. He has some healthy coping skills. He might be able to recover from this experience of being bullied pretty quickly. It might not impact him as much because, let's say, he has a strong sense of self, or he has a pretty solid self-esteem. He has support. He has all of these, think about these things as buffers in place that are helping him overcome this really difficult experience and allowing him to be really resilient. So Eli experiences this ongoing bullying, but is able to process the emotion and process the pain and kind of cope with it and move on and get the help that he needs. Okay, let's move on and meet teenager B. We're going to call her Emma. So Emma witnesses verbal abuse in her home pretty regularly. She doesn't have a lot of social support, and she was recently in a car accident. She also just found out that she didn't get a part that she auditioned for in her school play, and she's really bummed about it. And Emma is also being bullied at school for her weight. Emma's nervous system is fundamentally different than Eli's. It's likely more sensitive due to the other traumas that she is carrying and the amount of stress that's already in her body. So the bullying, even if it's, let's say, the same degree of bullying that Eli has faced, this bullying is going to be experienced by her nervous system and by her body as a pretty severe threat to her safety. And it might impact her mental health more severely than it did for Eli. She doesn't have as many buffers. She doesn't have as many coping skills. She doesn't have as much of a strong sense of self. And she's also coping and dealing with these other traumas that are happening in her life, right? So same experience, same trauma, very different response. to that situation or to that trauma. So my point and why I wanted to share these case examples is to name how life experiences, other past traumas, temperament and personality type, the presence or even lack of social support impacts the severity of the trauma that is created and how much of it is stored in the body. So I'm going to say that again and just say it in a different way. So if I have a more sensitive temperament type, or I already have difficulty regulating my emotions because I've experienced a lot of trauma in the past, then even something that is categorized as a quote unquote little t trauma could be experienced as incredibly overwhelming and beyond someone's ability to cope, right? So something that is classified by these big T, little t designations as a little t trauma for one person in this situation for Emma, it might actually be interpreted by the body as more of a big T trauma. Her body might respond and react as if this were an experience that was more similar to things that we normally label as big T traumas, right? So this is why these designations can be problematic, because it is truly dependent on life experience, personality. All of these factors go into how a traumatic event is going to be experienced and how a person is going to be able to cope with that experience or with that trauma. So this kind of leads me into my next point a little bit. And I think that this is really probably my biggest beef with this whole designation is that it is labeling something as big T and little t is based on the assumption, and it creates the belief that other people's pain is more worthy of being addressed or healed than others. It creates these levels or these hierarchies. And as if a big T trauma, you know what, if you're experiencing PTSD, pretty severe PTSD symptoms because a big T trauma, then we have so much compassion and empathy for you. But if you're experiencing the same level and magnitude of symptoms, but let's say it's something that's typically classified within that little t trauma, then we might not have as much empathy or compassion, because the belief is that, oh, that's a little thing that should not impact you to the degree that something as severe as a, you know, let's say abuse would. And it creates these really unhelpful beliefs, and it makes people believe that their pain doesn't matter, and it makes it harder for people to reach out for help. So if you've listened to the intro, I guess, to this podcast, you know that I'm a therapist, and I see clients day in and day out who say things to me like, my trauma wasn't really that bad, or I felt scared, but it wasn't like I was being abused or anything, or I should just be able to get over it. My parents' divorce shouldn't be affecting me this much, or the kids at school, they say some mean things here and there, but like, it's not really a big deal. I hear that all the time. And what my clients are actually saying to me in that moment is, because my trauma is just a little t and not really a big t, then it shouldn't hurt this bad, or it shouldn't impact me this much. And what that is doing is denying the human experience. So I think we tend to overlook these small t things because we rationalize these experiences as normal or common. And then we end up shaming ourselves for being quote unquote dramatic or having an intense emotional reaction to something that's actually incredibly painful, right? So that is my big beef, right? That is my issue, because if we it puts the little stuff on a lower level, and it creates this belief that it wasn't that painful or shouldn't be that painful. And all of that does is encourage repression, suppression, avoidance of emotion, and that just perpetuates pain and suffering. So anything that happens that is too soon, too quick, or too much to handle is trauma. And that doesn't matter if that is experiences of abuse or simply just having experiences of growing up with parents or caregivers who were emotionally unavailable or emotionally invalidating, who didn't talk about emotions. Totally different experiences, right? Different degrees and magnitudes there, but both of them still impact someone's life, and both of them deserve to be acknowledged and talked about. So anything that happens that overwhelms our central nervous system and exceeds our capacity to cope or make sense of it is trauma. And we need to start believing people when they say that something they've experienced is traumatic, whether we think based on these arbitrary categories that something was bad or not for them. We don't get to decide that for them, for people who share about their traumas to us. We need to believe people when they share things that are painful and hard and are causing them distress and anxiety. And we need to believe people when they reach out for support for things that our culture just quickly says, you know, just get over it, you know. And I think I see that a lot. This idea, it's a very Western idea that just get over it. Oh, it wasn't that bad. It wasn't that painful. I picked myself up by the bootstraps. And that is how we are conditioned from like macro level culture, is we are encouraged actually to downplay how significant and distressing things are for us, because we can't be weak or sensitive or vulnerable or sissy or whatever the wording is around. I think this is especially true for men, that just it's deny the trauma, because there is no permission from the culture at large to acknowledge and address things that have been really painful for you in your life. Trauma is personal, and it is not necessarily the magnitude of an event that determines how much it's going to impact you. It is how your body, there's a big old science word for it, neurocepted. It's basically the body's way of perceiving things and cues from the environment. It is how your body neurocepted or interpreted or experienced something that is a threat. It's how your body received it. That's what trauma is, and that's how trauma is created. So I think we need to be careful when we let big T and little T trauma designations tell us how we should feel about something traumatic or hard in our lives. If you experience something that is significantly overwhelming, if it interferes with your daily functioning, if it creates dysregulation and uneasiness in the body, it is worthy of being validated and it is worthy of being treated by a mental health professional. Little T trauma is still trauma. And I wish we could just start calling trauma, trauma. It matters just as much. Little T trauma, it counts just as much. It can be just as clinically significant and distressing. And it is worthy of being met with just as much empathy and compassion as the big stuff. Trauma is trauma, period. Thank you so much for joining me today. I hope you learned something new. Just a reminder that this podcast is about mental health and mental health concepts, and education about psychology and therapy is not a substitute for individual therapy. If you want to help this podcast grow and get it into the hands of other listeners, please subscribe, rate, or leave me a review. It really does make a difference.